behind, so no, y'all weren't. I was a little ahead. But I started listening. Man, that's a big song. John chapter 15, if you would, in verse 1 is where we're going to start. Remember, Brother Ed's got he's doing a wild game next Saturday. The festivities start at 3. They serve meals at 3, approximately 3:30. Preaching services at 6, and all those are central times. So that's down, what church is that? Jasper. Down in Jasper. Down there in Jasper. Sorry. John chapter 15. What I'm going to preach tonight is not theologically deep, but it is. It's not new, but it should be all the time to you. It's exciting. I hear pages turn, so I'm going to wait till you get through turning pages and we're going to get into the Word of God. It said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Jesus, I love the book of John. The book of John is so amazing because it constantly tells you who Jesus is. And it tells you who you are in Jesus or outside of Jesus. But it constantly tells you who He is. It reminds you. Somebody will say, when I was young in the faith, they'd say, I want to start reading the Bible, where should I start? And they'd say, read the book of John. Read the book of John. Hey, I think every preacher has told somebody in their lifetime, read the book of John. You know, I don't know if it's just because we heard somebody else tell us. But then I finally got an answer to it. I was like, if you want to find out who Jesus really is, read the book of John. And then after you read it, read back again and find out who you are. You're either in or you're out. You're either saved or you're not. Amen? He makes it very clear. But these things that Jesus says that I am, He always starts out, I am, just like God said, I am the I am. That's one of my favorite verses, one of my favorite stories in the Bible. When Moses says, hey, I love it because he says, who am I going to tell? How am I going to tell the Pharaoh? What am I going to say? Who am I going to say that sent me? Amen? God says one of the most, tell him that I am said. Whoo! Whoa, man, do you feel the Holy Spirit on that? That's God. God couldn't find nobody else to swear by, so He sweared by Himself. Amen? He's like, ain't nobody, I can't figure out anybody else but me. I am that I am. Tell them that I am sent you. And when they don't believe you, I'm gonna back it up. I'm gonna tear a whole nation apart by the words that you're going to speak. Amen? And they're going to know that I am that is I am. Amen? And if you got that in your life, you know, you have the I am. You have Jesus in you. You have God. God, one part of the Godhead dwells in you as a believer. And man, we diminish that a lot of times and we act like He's not there. But if you're born again, if you're saved, He dwells inside of you. Amen? This same I am. Good, never mind. I am the true vine and my Father is the husband. What He's saying is I am the branch that runs into you. I love this. You can't tell where the branch begins and the tree ends, or the tree ends and the branch begins. Just go try it, amen? Go look at a tree and say, okay, well, it ends right there, and I can't really tell because it's fit jointly together, right? That's what He's saying. He goes, I'm the true vine. If you're hooked up in me, I'm hooked up in you, amen? He goes, my Father is the husband. He goes, my Father owns the whole world. And I am the vine. So if you're in me, you're in the good part of the farm. Man, I'm in the good part of the farm. Amen. I don't know about you, but I am. I'm hooked up in the vine. The vine's hooked up in me. And the Father is the husband. Guess what that means? Once you get hooked up, you might want to make a note right here. The husbandman loves the farm more than anybody else. Oh, golly, I'll drop the husband in my part. The farmer who owns the farm loves the farm more than anybody else. Do you understand me? Remember when I was preaching not too long ago? Now, look, I'm apt about preaching anything I know tonight, but I want you to hear this. Do you remember when I told you about Joseph? When I told you that he picked his young, we're always having a hard time why he picked the younger son, but I believe he picked the younger son because he had a love for the sheep. Remember when Jesse picked David, or when God picked David, and it was Jesse's youngest son. He loved the sheep that he'd almost give his life for them. Amen. Jesus died. Jesus loves the sheep. Amen. I am the good shepherd. Amen. See, the farmer, listen, the farmer is always going to connect with people who love the farm almost, but not as much as he does. Golly, I hope you get this. If you don't know a farmer, get with one. I tell you, listen, ain't nobody cares about those trees, those plants, that produce, whatever they farm in, they think about it. They concentrate on it. They're working on it. And guess what? Write it down. They want the most production out of that. You're not going to believe this, but God wants the most production that He can get out of you, and He loves you more than anybody else. Some of y'all wondering all the time, why is God? Why is God? God, He is working on you to get the most out of you because He loves you more than anybody possibly can love you. It don't feel that way sometimes, does it? Well, listen, I lived next to an apple orchard for like 7 years. And I come to understand this is absolutely true. Amen? Some of y'all need to write this down too. Don't mistake your winter season for God not caring much about you. You say, what do you mean? Sometimes when you get in a winter season with God, you don't look pretty. It don't look pretty. Nothing's going good. There ain't no fruit. There ain't no flowers. There ain't no leaves. And God's doing a whole lot of cutting. And stuff's falling to the ground. Golly, I could preach a whole sermon about that, right? And you think the whole world's working about, but you see, God's doing more work in your winter season than He is your summer season. He's plowing you up. He's fertilizing you. He's feeding you. He's cutting on you. And the sap's building up in you. You didn't know it, but sometimes in your winter season when you ain't much to look at on the outside, God's doing an amazing thing on the inside where you can look good on the outside when it's time for you to look good on the outside. I've done enough. We could have all the call and leave, right? I'm serious. Did you let that register in what I just said? Some of you are sitting right now wondering, why, God, am I going through this? God's making you better. A better Christian, a stronger Christian, a more durable Christian, a more productive Christian. And guess what? You think God's killing you. Man, I'm telling you, I used to ride by them apple trees right in the middle of the wintertime when they done the pruning. It was a massacre. I mean, a slap massacre. I mean, they was limb. I said, man, they didn't leave anything. Yeah, they did. They left plenty. You know what they left? They left, what they left is the goods. Never mind. Some of y'all might want to make a note right here. God's cutting some stuff out of your life that you consider good, but that He ain't considered good. You want to break it down? Let's go a little deeper. It was good. It'll be good in the record books, but it won't be good going forward. God, I'm kicking the tires on somebody right here. That means, guess what, going forward, it ain't going to be good for you. So God says, you know what? I know it's going to hurt. I know it's going to be painful, but I'm removing it because I got another area for you to grow in. Ooh. I almost got ahead of myself in the message. Only been to one verse. God, tell me every once in a while. Derek said, Kevin, slow down. No, what you've been telling me that for 17 years, it worked once. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Look, can we break it down? Let's go slower, okay? Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, okay? Every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. I want you to hear this. This world, okay? The ones that's not bearing fruit, they ain't got no fruit on them. Those are the people that don't belong to God, okay? They're there. They're not making anything. They're not doing anything, right? Boy, but they look good for a season. In wheat worlds, there's this weed called the Darnell weed. I hope there's nobody named Darnell here. All right. I'd say it's a low probability. But these Darnell weeds, they'll bust the ground and they'll look like wheat, act like wheat, and pretend to be wheat all the way up until the point where it's time to produce wheat. Amen? But a farmer would know right away, that's a Darnell weed. That ain't going to do nothing. Amen? A non-wheat farmer would say, look, we got a bumper crop of wheat. No, one's going to get all the way to the end and ain't going to produce no fruit, but you can't rip them up all at the same time because the root system's all together. Ouch, right? But what I'm talking about is, I want you to see this. Listen, I was reading this today and yesterday, but I got into this thing and I seen this for the very first time. The ones that are bearing fruit, right, the ones that are fruitless, they just get cut off at some point and thrown into the fire. Amen? They just ain't done, right? Don't work on it. Now listen, let me break this down for you. Somebody who's not saved, somebody who's not living for God, can sometimes pull off like they're doing better than you, the one who's saved. Man, I wished I had about a day to preach this. But they get everything that you want in your flesh and in your mind, they got it. God, I could name about 10 things right now. Right? And you see them, there they go by on it. Mm-hmm. Right? They're wearing it. Ooh. They're living in it, right? They're married to it. Oh, I don't know. Man, y'all are tight. Man, y'all got a good poker face. None of y'all let nothing go. Nothing bothers you. Man, y'all are good. I don't know if y'all went years doing this, but it's good. But I mean, the devil will wear you out. I mean, you're serving God, doing all the right things, making all the right choices, praise God, trying to follow Him, being holy, being righteous, doing what needs, and you ain't got squat. Can I go a little? Man, I hope I can preach to y'all tonight. I've been wanting to preach all day. Listen, there was a scene in the Passion of the Christ, and if you don't believe that's God or whatever, that don't matter to me. I'm just telling you a scene. Hey, it was a scene where Jesus was about, He was being whipped at the whipping post, and the devil was over there, right? They had a character as the devil, and he was going back and forth. But guess what? He had an old-looking devil child. You know what I mean? Come on. Y'all just stay with me. I know it's not biblical. Don't leave here and go, Cam said the Passion of Christ is biblical. I didn't say that. I'm just saying that there was a part in it that ties into this. He was being whooped for being Jesus. He was being tore apart for being Jesus. And I don't know who wrote this part, but it was ingenious. The devil took its old ugly devil child and walked over and was caressing it and patting it and was making it out to be, look, I treat my kids better than God treats His only begotten Son. I thought that was a very good depiction in the movie. Because there's times when you're trying to live for God every way you can, and the devil will just show out in somebody else. It's not. And it'll almost tempt you. If you ever get a chance, go and look at Psalm 73 or Psalm 37. There's two good psalms that's wrote about this. Amen? Amen? And it can get you there. And God ain't doing... Oh, man, I'm preaching. Y'all don't know it, but I'm preaching a heavyweight championship message right here on you. Listen to this. I want you to get this. God ain't doing nothing to them. I mean, they ain't getting whooped, they ain't getting chastised, they ain't getting broke off. It just seems like one good thing after another. Not all of them, but some of them. Just the ones He shows you, golly. I mean, just the ones you get, just that one joker, just that one girl, just that one. You, oh man, and the devil knows how to hit you right in that spot, right?
Amen.
But the deal is, the next verse says, the ones that are producing fruit, He prunes. He cuts on them. Whew! You should make that your doggone life verse. You should write that down. But wait, the ones that are doing the will of God, the ones that are producing fruit, God will cut on you. My goodness. I don't like that. I mean, if you think you like that kind of stuff, that's great. It hurts. Amen? It hurts when God comes in and just snips something right out of your life. Man, I hope y'all get this. But if He's doing that, you're right where you're supposed to be. Amen? And God is He's a lean, mean, growing fruit machine God. He wants to cut as much off of you and get the most fruit out of you as He can. Goodness, that hurts, don't it? Because I hope I'm not the only one, because every once in a while, my old man will say, you ain't getting enough done.
My spiritual man says, you don't need no stuff. Dude, we're going to a place that's going to be taken care of for eternity. Stop looking short-sighted. You got to remind yourself. And you say, well, God's always taking. He's only taking because He wants more. More what? More souls saved. More lives changed. More people to grow in faith. Somebody asked me, what kind of church you got going on? I got a church where the people are. You know what encourages me most about y'all? Some of y'all in this room, you've already been saved. I hope. Can't speak for every one of you, but I want you to grow up. Grow further in Christ. Not just grow, I got it. I meant grow up more and more. It encourages me when somebody comes and says, man, I know more. I got more. I'm getting fed. It encourages me. God's stretching me. That's the kind of church I want to go to. I love to see souls saved. I love to see lives changed. I love to see new Christians. I absolutely do. But I like to see older Christians who make other people thirsty and hungry for righteousness. Amen? Because you know what? That's one big thing that brings people to Christ is when people live for Jesus in such a way that they kind of look want to investigate into you. You don't act like everybody else. You don't talk like everybody else. You're not as aggravated and mad. You got a little joy about you. Amen? So remember this. If you're being cut on and things are falling out of your life, then God's doing the right thing. Amen? Whew, that's tough. Now you are clean through the word which I spoke unto you. Man, is this not the truth? Jesus just speaks through His word, through good preaching, through good teaching, good through Bible literature, good through riding down the road, listening to the Moody broadcast. Listen, you get cleansed. Amen? By the renewing and the changing. You're sitting there going, my goodness. Does the devil ever wear anybody else in here out? Does he ever wear you out that you ain't doing right? No, you had a bad week, bad day. Something. Have y'all anybody in here? Hey, do something with me. Go back about 6 months before you got saved. Right? Then look how far we come now. I mean, I'm telling you, the devil will jump on you. Well, look at you. You had a bad attitude. But that bad attitude, that used to be holes in the wall. That used to be having to drive down the road at 100 miles an hour where I didn't get arrested. And I'm sorry. I'm just telling you the truth. This used to be, hey, man, we've come a long way, man. Just for a bad attitude. Yeah, I got a bad attitude today. Sometimes I'll own it. I got a pretty stinky attitude. Other than that, I was like, blah, 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 blah. I mean, I got some verbal karate. I could break you down. 5 minutes later, I'm in the bed. I was like, sorry about that. Love you. Good night. I'm angry and tired. Amen? The devil said, oh, look at you. You're a spiritual giant. No. Hey, a few years ago, that had been a lot worse. I'm doing good. Amen? And I apologize. Wow, that's great. Never mind. Are you with me? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Good, good. So I'm just saying, man, we're cleansed through the Word. Man, we're getting better and better. We ain't never going to totally arrive. If we do, we'll be on the shores of glory. But God's working on us. Amen? And let it continue. Edify yourself, feed yourself, grow yourself. And you know what? You know what? Somebody said, do you like to preach to people who know the Bible a lot, or do you like to preach to people who don't? I love to preach. Hey, I like to feed people that likes to be fed. I like the people who feed themselves. I like to preach to preachers, preachers' kids, preachers' families. Why? Because they know what I'm talking about. I don't have to do half the work. Hey, man, you can get into some meat. That's good stuff, right? So come in here knowing, man, and ready, amen? Ready. I like desserts as much as I like full meals, amen? So, we got amen on desserts. Abide in me and I in you, and the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, and no more can you except you abide in me. Abide in me and I in you.
as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. I love what he does right here. He's talking about a root system. He's talking about a root system. Whatever the roots are, fruits will be. Whatever the roots are, the fruits will be. Amen? So when you start seeing the fruits in your life, that's what the roots are producing. Amen? Whatever's coming out of your mouth is the root of your heart. Amen? Whatever you do with your hands, your eyes, your ears, your nose is usually the root of your mind and your heart. Amen? People say, I can't believe they drink. I can't believe they use drugs. Well, listen, there's usually a root. It's usually a hurt, a habit, or a hang-up. You can write that down. That's pretty neat stuff. A hurt, a habit, or a hang-up. There's something that's happened. Amen? Maybe they've had a surgery and somebody did something and they took the medicine and eventually they got over the pain, but they kept taking the pain medicine. And next thing you know, they like to feel the pain medicine more than they could like just live a natural life. It happens a lot more than you think to a lot more people than you think. Amen? Maybe something happened to them in their childhood that was so devastating to them. Instead of dealing with it, they started using drugs and alcohol to cover or mask the anxiety, the fear, depression, or anger. Now, we don't like to talk about this in the spiritual realm of the church because we believe people should just get bang, bang, and we're done. And that'd be nice because it's all clean and easy and we're one trip into the store and we're done. Now, listen, you get a one-trip store into the salvation, that's free. It's a free gift. But praise God, sometimes you got to work. No, you better shut up, Kevin. I'll go deeper with you because some of y'all are getting skeptical. There's something in every one of our lives that don't get took care of at salvation. Every one of us has got something in our lives that if we could quit tomorrow, we would. We'd drop it like that. But it just seems like God ain't going to take that away. He'll make you pray through it, study through it, trust Him through it. Amen? And guess what? We'll have to work on it. Whew. Nobody likes that, but it's just the truth. Amen? So these things I'm talking about can be built up for a lot of different reasons. But praise God, when God comes in, amen? When Jesus gets in, He gets in the root system, amen? That's why you see people who don't get off drugs, who don't get off alcohol, who don't get off different things, pornography, lying, stealing, manipulating, and et cetera, because one thing, Christ gets in and He starts reworking, hello, He starts reworking the root system of your mind and your heart. Amen. Now, some things you're going to have to work on and pinpoint and have a strategy to get rid of, get around the right people in the right places and do the right things. Change your playgrounds and your playmates. I traded my playground, the world, for the church. My playmates, Christians, over lost people. Amen. I confide into people that are Christian, people that I know that I can tell them what's going on in my life. They pray for me. They don't wear me out. Amen. And then I got this ultimate thing, is called the Jesus Christ, which is the high priest. I can go to Him with my burdens at any time, and He can help me overcome them. And let me tell you this little story here. The thing that you struggle with the most that nobody else is going to talk about in this room, the thing that you do continuously and you want to get rid of it, guess what? When you profess it to someone else and you profess it to Christ, it takes the power and the control out of it. Oh, gosh. See, what the devil wants you to do is he wants you to cap it, push it down, and act like you're perfect, and act like you got it all under control, and act like you ain't never going to do anything. And I'm all right, brother. I'm all right, sis. God, yeah, I'm good. And next thing you know, you've crammed down, until then, all of a sudden, 3 months from now, you pop. Next thing you know, you're doing the stuff that you said you wasn't going to do anymore. Ah, God, this is too real for Sunday night. I don't know how I got here. These are the real things that happen. But if you don't want to pop and you don't want to go doing the things that you said you weren't going to do anymore, here's what you do. You confess it before somebody that you know that's not going to run around and tell everybody and their brother. They're going to pray for you. They're going to encourage you. Then you're going to confess it to God. He's going to give you strength. And guess what? The more you confess it, the more you say it, the more you pronounce it to God, the less power that stronghold's got on your life. And the next thing you know, you're not doing that thing anymore because you've already told everybody and that took all that momentum away from it. Listen, that was just good preaching. If you don't like it, I don't know what to tell you. That's just good stuff. Amen. So God starts reworking. I didn't want to change. I didn't want to change. I didn't desire to change. That's where God comes in until He moves in. But He has to rework and rewire. Is anybody in the process of God reworking and rewiring? He does something right away, but my goodness, He's got some of them small wires. And some, I think it says like this, God comes in and rewrites the constitution of your mind. Amen? But there's little skirmishes going on around the body, like a foreign country. He's already took over the capital, but there's some rebels in here, in my flesh. I got some rebels in there. Every once in a while they wage a war. Amen? God's in control. He's already took over the whole thing, but He's ultimately going to win. Amen? But He's in there doing the battle for me. But God, I know I'm simple. I know I'm not the smartest person in here. I don't want to be. Listen, but I like how God, he just when He first saved me, He just started pulling wires and hooking them up to the right places. I'm preaching to somebody. Praise God. I didn't even know what my wife was supposed to be until I got saved. And all of a sudden, God started pulling those stupid wires that I had been programmed by the enemy. How I was supposed to look at my wife. How I was supposed to look at women. And praise God, He de-plugged those and plugged them up to the right places. And I learned how to look at my wife, to treat my wife, to love my wife like I was supposed to love my own self. If y'all don't like how real I am, I'm sorry. Almost. Do you understand what I'm saying? God did that. One of the biggest wires He pulled was my language. Man, He pulled that thing right off the bat. That's a miracle. Some people say, you still believe God works miracles? Yes. Well, what did He do for you? He took away the cussing. I was kind of an artist with it. I was. Well, I could ginzoo you up, son. And if that's way, if I liked you, if I didn't like you, I just didn't talk to you. Man, God changed that thing right away. I mean, He unplugged that wire and hooked it up to something else. The next thing you know, the only thing that's coming out of this mouth is pure water, amen? Clean water, not salt water. I mean, that clean stuff. I can still remember almost seven years after I got saved, I remember saying a word that was close to a curse word, and I couldn't believe I said it. I was running a boys' home and I couldn't find three of them. Stress. I'm driving around a high school parking lot and I can't find three kids. Okay, let me put it this way. You don't find these three kids, it's either jail or you're out of a job. Okay, let's make out the playing field here. I'm driving around going, where's these kids at? My wife's going, where are you? I'm going, I'm peed off. I'm like, I just said, I'm peed off. Did I just say that? That just come out of my mouth. I couldn't believe I had forgot that I lost three kids for a minute. I was like, man, I can't believe I said that. But I said the whole word. She's on the other line. Are they dead? I don't know. Sure enough, drive around long enough, they're all three standing in the gaggle in the same place they're supposed to be. But anyway. Do you understand what I'm saying? No, God. I mean, God's working. He's changing the root system of who you are. But listen, it takes some time on some things because some things you've been doing since you were 6, 7, 8, 9 years old. It's so ingrained in you, you can't help it. But God's working on you. Let Him continue to work. That's what makes you humble. That's what makes you humble. That's what keeps you coming here. That's what makes you love other people. It's not your perfection. It's not how far you've come in Christ. It's the fact that you can get down on somebody else's level and say, I'm just like you, and I mean it. Without the grace of God, without the love of God, without the mercy of God, I couldn't sit here either. People aren't coming in this church to see how perfect we are. They're coming in here to find a perfect Jesus who can save them and change their life like He's changed ours. That's a problem. So many Christians, so many churches, that's a problem. People come in the back door and they think we're so far up and ahead of them, they don't think they'll ever catch up. They don't realize we're even. All the ground at Calvary is even ground. There's no big I's and little U's. There's just Christians. Somebody said that one time. Serious. See, what, are you kidding me? We're either Christians or we're not. We're either in the faith or we're not in the faith. That's how God sees it. There is no, well, I'm better. Listen, if you think you're better than anybody else, praise God, start your own deal in your one-room apartment with one person there, just you and you, and call it the You and You Church. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me. Goes on down to say, you can do nothing. Verse 5, if a man abideth in me, he is cast forth as a branch. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Listen, I'll preach this the way God showed it to me. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you shall, and it shall be done unto you. I like it this way. I used to have a small garden in my backyard that I despised and hated with all the passion of the world. Amen. My stepdad had a green thumb. He liked to raise chickens, and he liked to raise a big garden. I liked the chickens, and I hated the garden. One, because I spent a whole summer picking up rocks, and I thought we had a rock farm, because every time we plowed the ground, we had more rocks. And I'd pick rocks by the hours and by the decades, seemed like. I couldn't go hang out with my friends, couldn't ride my bike, couldn't do any of the cool stuff that everybody else was doing. I was too busy picking up rocks. So then we had to go in there and we had to pick up, we had to do the whole cutting and pruning and digging weeds and everything else on my time, my summer times. Never mind. I still got a little bitterness in there. It's still there. I'm sorry. But I remember walking up and down them rows every time, walking up and down those rows. That rows got really hard. But I remember going up and down those rows, and every once in a while, my stepdad would say, go out there and get us two tomatoes, get us a cucumber, a good-sized cucumber, and grab us some beans, right? Well, all right, I thought that was pretty cool, and I'd go out there and I'd snatch them up. And he said, while you're out there, if you're out there and you find that there's any withered old tomatoes or if there's any kind of withered old branches or anything, just gather them up and bring them down to the end of the aisle and just leave them down at the end, and I'll gather them up later and we'll burn them. I didn't know me hating that garden and having to work in it was going to end up helping my preaching ability. Amen? Because I found out a real theological thing. I figured this out on my own. Amen? Before the harvest, I'm preaching, this is good. I'll let y'all off the hook after this. Look at this. Before the harvest, before the end of the summer, we'd bring everything in and can it and put it away, right? Throughout the whole summer, Father would send a son into the garden. He would say, go in there and pick me some good ones out and bring them on back into the house because we want them now. Woo! Woo! Man, y'all feel the Holy Spirit. If y'all have a running fit, take off. So every once in a while, the father tells the son, hey, I'm so sick and tired of not being out without so-and-so. Will you go down there and get in my garden because I'm the husband. Will you bring me out a couple real goodness. Come on. Does anybody in this room have somebody in heaven that's a real good one, but you were wondering why God come and got them? God picked them specifically because they were some real good ones.
Amen.
They were ahead of their time. They were shining above all the other ones. And God said, I want them right now. I can't wait. Go get them.
Amen.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Down there and you find the best one, you man, I'm going to eat that sucker. Right? But then on the way through, theological, here I am. Theological. If you go down through there and you find one withered up, you find one just old branch, break it off, tear it off, bring it down to the end of the pile. I'll take care of that later. I'm going to put it in the burn pile. And sure enough, it went right in the burn pile every single time. At the end of the season, guess what? We went down through there and we got them all out. We canned them and put them up where we can eat them all through the year, right? Guess what? God comes and gets some of us before the rapture, before the end of the time comes. Then He's going to come give us all at the harvest. But all those that are withered away, that are not of Christ, that are just in there, guess what? They're going to go to the end of the rows. And they're going into a burn pile. They're going into a place called hell. That's why God made this so simple. Sometimes we make our theological stuff so hard for anybody to understand. But it's really not that hard to understand at all. If God's in us, He abides in us. He is making us, molding us, and changing us into what He wants us to be. If we don't abide in Him, we don't belong to Him. Amen? He don't do anything with us. He lets us grow and we live out our life as long as we're going to live it out. And guess what? At the end of it, He does exactly what He says He's going to do with it. Amen?
Somebody says, I wonder why the Bible talks about hell as much as it does. Because God loves you that much. Nobody would love you if there was a place called hell and they never told you about it and you died. God told you enough about it that you would never have to make it there. Because he constantly tells you, the only way you're going to stay out of that is if you accept my son Jesus. There's only one way out, but it's the simplest way to come. Amen? Let's all stand as they come get a song of invitation. Whew.